When it's 4:46 a.m. Central African time on this beautiful Tuesday morning, Yom Thulatha. Yes, it's not the 1st of Rabi'ul Awal, it's the 30th of Safar, 1444. So today is the 30th of Safar, 1444. Let's welcome the listeners of Radio Al-Ansar International. Let's welcome the listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Remember, if you have any questions, 084-786-3132. International overseas listeners, +27847863132. Ustad, welcome to the program this early Tuesday morning. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Ustad.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum on Arafat. Jazakallahu khairan to our technicians, Brother Junaid Khan, Brother Riyaz Hussein. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Today in South Africa, Southern Africa, is the 30th of Safar 1444, and in most parts of the world, Makkah Mukarrama, Medina Munawwara, Aqsa Mubarak, America, Europe, it is the 1st of Rabi'ul Awwal. Alhamdulillah, tonight when you see the new moon and the crescent, say Allahu Akbar, Hilalu Khairin wa Rushdin. Almighty Allah, make this month of Rabi'ul Awwal a month of khair and goodness, wa rushdin and righteousness for us, our families, and the entire Ummah international community. Today, with the grace and mercy of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla, we focus on chapter 23, Suratul Mu'minun, and verses number 3 and number 4. We are discussing the true qualities of those who are the devoted, dedicated believers and Muslim men and women. Yesterday we informed you, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. People who have the true belief and the correct creed, and they believe in all the fundamentals and all the articles of faith, that is our foundation. Now the structure, when they perform salat and namaz and prayer, then they do so with utmost devotion, concentration. Today's two qualities, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنِ اللَّغْوِ مُؤْرِدُونَ. They are those people who turn away and they shun all vanities, all futile speech, futile actions. Every one of us, let us do some introspection and see. Laghwun in Islam means an action that has no benefit for us, nor in this world and nor in the year after. Now let us take 2-3 easy examples. Sports, entertainment, the movie industry. So all this falls in the category of laghwun. Cricket, how many hours are wasted on that? World Cup soccer will come, hours and hours are wasted in that. So movies, let's see, Indian movie, Hollywood, Bollywood, Robin Hood. So all this is laghun, and top of it we know is haram and not permissible. So imagine that we waste our life in futile activities. The true believers are those, they treasure every minute, every moment, every second of their life. Allama Nawawi, I just give you one example. One of the greatest scholars of the Shafi'i school of jurisprudence, he passed away at the age of 45. He never got married. We are not suggesting you mustn't get married. We say get married, no problem. And we encourage that. And he would have one meal a day. And they asked him, why you only have 1 meal? He said, where is the time? I'm busy teaching, I'm busy writing, I'm busy making research. And he left one of the richest, greatest legacy we can find in the scholar. The whole Shafi is schooled, and all the Muslims, we are indebted to him. Riyadu Salihin, Minhaj, the commentary on Sahih Muslim, all the books he wrote, remember, on the Shafi fiqh and jurisprudence. A'alam an-nas bi-madhhabi Shafi'iyya ba'd al-Imam Shafi'i. After Imam Shafi'i, rahimahullah, the greatest scholar in the field of jurisprudence was Allama Nawawi, rahimahullah. That they used to say, Al-Waqtu indana aghla min al-Zahabi wal-Fidda. The time for us is more important and valuable than gold and silver. Where are we today? We are masters in killing time and wasting time. A Muslim never does that. Therefore, Uzkurullaha zikran kathira. Instead of killing time, remember Almighty Allah abundantly, profusely. Have a timetable, and we must know exactly what we are going to do. So never mind our wives, our children might call us workaholic or whatever, but everyone should be spending our time correctly. So وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ أَنِ اللَّغْوِ مُؤْرِدُونَ. So all futile speech, futile actions, stay away and shun it. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِلزَّكَاةِ فَاعِلُونَ. They are those people, in their charity, they are active. So if a person is rich, if a person is middle class, and he gives charity, we can understand. But how can a poor person be giving charity? So charity does not mean monetary charity only. We give in cash or kind. Every good deed, kullu ma'arufin sadaqah, rahmatul lil alameen, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, encapsulated it. In this hadith sharif, mentioned in Mishkat sharif, Mustad Ahmad, every good deed is charity. We smile with the right person, male to male, female to female, smile with our wife, our children, so that is charity. We see the banana peel on the road, on the street, we know it's harmful, we remove that, so that is charity. So that is our Islam. Every day do some good action for Muslim and non-Muslim, empower somebody, and in that way they will remember us even after we are gone, and somebody will make dua and supplicate for us. So three lessons. Be very, very careful regarding our salat. We must perform it. Remember what jamaat, the men in the masjid, and second the mosque, and second one the women at home on time. Second one, that stay away from bad company, futile talk, get together weekend, at nights, and just talk nonsense the whole time. So that is waste of time in Islam. And remember, third one, charity, zakat. Do you know what the meaning of zakat? Zakat means growth, development. So the more we give in the path of Allah, Quran says, وَمَا آتَيْتُم مِّن زَكَاتٍ تُرِيدُونَ وَجَ اللَّهِ. When you spend in the path of Allah, تُرِيدُونَ وَجَ اللَّهِ, for the love and pleasure of Almighty Allah, فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُضْعِفُونَ. Allah will multiply their wealth many, many fold. So that is our Islam, which is the best, and we present to the rest of the world. Take the pure Islam, not the propaganda you are seeing in your screens and on your screens and in the mass media. Let's take you around the world quickly. You see, Putin, I told you in last night's Q&A, he holds the trump cards. So what did Putin do? He gave and he signed it, that they gave citizenship, everything, to Snowden. So who is Snowden? Snowden was the guy who was the whistleblower, and he said the American politicians are doing ABC, CIA is doing all the underhand business, breaking, violating so many laws and so forth. So the Americans felt that this person is a traitor and so forth. So now Putin will milk him, he will be singing like a canary now, because he is right in Russia, he's got citizenship now of Russia, and the intelligence of Russia, remember, will use him to the maximum benefit, and he will give all the secrets away. So remember this is Allah's way. Allah ki lati be awaz hai. The stick of Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala, remember, is such it does not make a noise. Now you see America are facing elections now in November. They call it midterm elections. If you look at the polls and you look at the survey, most of them, majority of them say the Democrats will lose and then the Republicans will be in and then they will make life hell for the Biden administration, and majority of the Democrats don't want Biden to stand for re-election in 2024. So imagine what a mix-up that is now. So that is how Almighty Allah has made them a polarized society based on race, black and white, based on politics, Republicans and remember Democrats, and based on human rights and so many other issues. So these are all good signs. It won't last for long. United States of America, it must become the divided states of America. Third one, write this down, my brother Uwesi, who was will render the news at 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock this morning. He is from India and he will give you more details. Yesterday, day for yesterday, whatever you want to call, with different time zones. So remember that. So it means Monday will be Tuesday today. So if you study Indian politics and economics, $85 billion. You heard what I said? $85 billion the investors lost who were investing in India. You go on with your politics, oh Modi and company, harm the Muslims, strip the Muslims of their citizenship, raping the Muslim women and so many other things, then Allah Ta'ala crushes you in various ways. In one day, $85 billion investors lost in India. So that, you could go read all the news from India and go see what is happening on the international scene. Last one, I take you to Iran. I want to give you a short, very brief history. You students, write it down. Muslims, write it down. Non-Muslims, listen carefully. I'll give you the Gregorian calendar. It will make it life easy for everybody. It was around the year 640. Amir al-Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, sent the army, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas and all of them radiallahu anhum, and they conquered Iraq, Iran, all these areas there. Okay? So the Shias and the Iranians and Persians should be indebted to Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. That is common sense, but common sense is no more common. From 640 right up to 1500 Gregorian calendar, Iran is a Sunni country. It produced Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala and the great Sahabi companion. It produced Muhaddisin like Imam Muslim and from Nisapur, and it produced Imam Ibn Majah from Qazwin and all of them. Imam Abu Hanifa's forefathers hail from Iran as well. So all this, remember, goes to the credit of Iran. In 1500, Ismail Safavi, the Shia, came in the name of Sufism and being showing off like a pious person. So then he built up a strong force. First thing they did was slaughter, massacre the Sunni ulama. So that is the history of Iran. So from 1501 onwards, it became a Shia country till today. Thereafter, remember that oil was found there. And who were the biggest thugs and crooks? Remember, were the British. The British sent their team and told them, fine, we will help you out. And so much more than 90% of the profits, all that will go to Britain and they will calculate it. So they realized we're getting nothing out of this. So then they kicked them out and a lot of problems. And then they had elections and there was democracy. The West speaks of democracy. Remember, in Iran, who removed the democratically elected prime minister, call him whatever you want to? You, the Americans, you, the CIA. If you know your history, So that is what happened. Then the Shah comes into power, and then he was a puppet of the West. And then in 79, Khomeini comes with the Iranian revolution, not Islamic revolution. And that is where you are now. And what's the death toll? Officially, they say 76 people killed, is much more than that. So remember, this is how they operate and so forth. So yes, I say Iran must go nuclear. We say all the Arab countries, Muslim countries must go nuclear. The aim of Israel in the West is to kick out the Shias and so forth. Why? So they have a government that where they can steal more oil, like they are stealing currently in Iraq, where they are stealing currently from Syria and in Libya and in Yemen. So that is what they want. The West never wants a holy war. They always want the oily war. So understand all the reasons for that. The media, day and night, Iran, Iran, Iran. So remember that I got nothing to do with Iran, but you must understand the true facts on the ground. We say the Shias are not even Muslim. But what is the truth? We must always speak.
I see Brother Dylan says that we are the citizens of South Africa, AK. We work hard for a living. So why can't we have our own say in matters which concerns us? Why are we like robots? Dylan Ustad.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. You see, my brother Dylan, when you ask me, and I have to answer from an Islamic perspective, so Islam does not allow secularism. Secularism advocates a godless society. Islam does not allow capitalism, because the rich will get richer and the poor get poorer. You get oligarchies, you have monopolies. Islam does not allow democracy, because the masses are asses. You must remember that. So Islam is dead against this. But we're not living, and there's no Muslim, there's no Islamic country in the world today. There are Muslim countries, but no Islamic country. We need to be honest about that. So the problem is that all this is manipulation. So I can say, you can say, but what the people who are ruling will say. If you just want to see South Africa going in a failed state direction, just go study all the scandals in our hospitals. Go and study what's happening in Baragwana Hospital. Go and study what I'm speaking of, the major hospitals and so forth. Besides the load shedding, besides the corruption, besides the crookery and cater deployment. So therefore, you and me are marginalized and majority rule. But majority, you know what it is. So that is the problem with the Western and satanic democracy.
Somebody says here, Ustad, that can we eat at a zakatable person's house after we have given this person zakat money to buy food, Ustad?
If you gave ABC Muslim person who is poor zakat, when you give zakat, which is compulsory charity, 2.5% from our extra money and so forth, so remember that you gave him the money or gave her the money, and there must be no strings attached, no conditions attached. We are the giver, that person is the recipient. After 1 week, 1 month, 6 months, they have a nikah, they have a walima, they have a invitation, they tell you come and partake of the food. So totally permissible, provided that you did not make it a condition. So yes, totally permissible. Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to the house of Barira radiallahu anha, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked the Prophet, peace be upon him, Rasulullah Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, indaki tu'am, do you have food? She said, yes, it is sadaqah, meaning zakat. Habibuna sallallahu Allah alayhi wa sallam said, Laki sadaqa walana hadiya. For you it is charity, but for us it is a gift. So therefore it's permissible. So no problem with that. The hadith in Mishkat Sharif, Musnad Ahmad.
Let's go to Springs, Ustad. Somebody saying here that Mufti Islam, do you think it's a good idea to move to China or to Australia? We are tired of South Africa, Ustad.
Running away from the problem does not solve the problem. What do you think, China? You know what they're doing in Xinjiang province and so forth. Do you know who conquered that areas of China where today the Muslims are in detention centers, where Muslims are so oppressed in China? Go study our Islamic history. This is a crime we are committing. Our students don't know Islamic history from the Darul Uloom, most of them. And Allah gave it the public, don't speak about them. So you must remember that Hajjaj bin Yusuf's time, so he conquered, remember these areas, or in his time it was conquered and so forth. So, and if you remember China, everywhere there are cameras, and you move this way, that way, remember they don't play there. So remember that, that they will just put you away. So I don't think that's a good option. Second one, Australia, you know how racist Australians are. So China I've been once, Australia I've been once. So remember that anywhere you're going to go, you might protect your iman, but what will happen to your children? Do you know what is happening in Sydney? Do you know what is happening in Perth? What is happening in Melbourne, in Brisbane, all these places? They have masajid, they have ulama, they have madrasas, they have schools. But you will never find the infrastructure like you have in South Africa. So therefore, yes, we have problems, all those things. Yeah, but to run away from the problem, that does not solve the problem. How many people went to Australia? They're back in the country. Mm. How many went to America, Canada? Are they back in the country? So remember, I don't think, my brother, that's a good move on your behalf.
Somebody says, my question is that what is the hidden agenda, Ustad, behind the so-called one world religion, Ustad?
You must remember, one world religion will be the consequence and the result of the one world order. So Washington wants to rule, and the spiritual capital will be Jerusalem. So the Jutlas will rule the world, and the Jews want to rule, the Zionists, the whole world. And then they don't want opposition, so they get the Arab tenpot dictators like MBS and MBZ and all the, and Egypt and so forth. And then they will play a subservient role. And remember, they will get the Christians like the Pope Francis and so forth, and another Pope will come. And these are people who are prepared to sell their soul and religion for the dollars and money and so forth. So all religions will become secondary, and remember, Judaism and so forth will rule. So that is the underlying factor. Quran has taught us this, that in Surah number 61, verse number 8, Yuridun al-Yud the enemies want to extinguish the radiance, effulgence of Allah, Islam, with their mass media and their mouths and politicians. Allah will let the nur of Islam spread throughout, and Islam will rule, not all these people. See how humiliated, disgraced they are. Even though the non-Muslims, they hate it and detest it. The whole thing is to do with power and money. That is what they want, and everybody else will be like zombies.
I see Wesley says, morning AK, is it a sin to buy your driver's license using the same instructor? Because government employers are just a rip-off and waste our time. Ustad, Wesley.
My brother Wesley, we say, I say, you say, that the government is corrupt, the politicians are corrupt. But corruption is not the one-way street, it's two-way. So when me and you, I'm giving example, that you start giving bribery and they going to accept it, so are we not also encouraging corruption? Two wrongs don't make a right. Now look at Islam, the Prophet, peace be upon him, Mustafa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, La'ana Allahu Rashi, Allah Ta'ala's curse is on the one who gave the bribery, Wal Murtashi, and the one who receives it, Wal Ra'ish, the third party, he says, don't worry, excel a plan mark, I'll sort out, it's not who you know, it's what you know. So, it's not what you know, it's who you know, I will sort it out. So in Islam, all three parties, the receiver, the giver, the one organizer, all are condemned and cursed. Authentic hadith in Bayhaqi. So in Islam, we don't work like that. In Tirmidhi, it comes, وَلَا تَخُنْ مَنْ خَانَكْ. You can't go do wrong to the one who did you wrong. Remember that they did corruption, so you say, I go do corruption. So you can't do that in Islam. That's not acceptable.
I see Sister Natalie wants to know, Ustad, what's the latest regarding Abu Aqila, Ustad?
So remember, regarding Shirin Abu Aqila, even Mahmoud Abbas and them, they raise all these issues. And remember that even our, you know, Pando, so our Minister of Foreign Affairs, she also remember, she gave a good speech, let me tell you that, in the United Nations. I don't agree with everything, but when she touched on the Palestinian issue, she spoke very, very well, and she spoke about that, and I was so happy when she said apartheid Israel. So remember that Israel, that was premeditated murder, like how for MBS, it will be an albatross on his neck till the day he dies, the murder of Jamal Khashoggi. These Israelis murdered thousands of Muslims, male, female, and children. Remember Ariel Sharon's policy, the war criminal used to say, shoot one and make intention of two. That you see a Palestinian woman who is pregnant, so shoot. And what you do, you break their bones. So then we shot two. One the terrorist and the one the terrorist to come. So that is how they speak, the Israelis. And therefore we call them baby killers and so forth. But for them, Muslim blood is cheap blood. It doesn't matter much. Allah forbid. But you see, now she, Shirin, Abu Aqila, not Akle, Akle, in proper Arabic is Abu Aqila. She's an Arab, she's a Palestinian, and she's an American also, American citizen in that sense. So anyway, that when she was running, she was reporting for Al Jazeera for 20 years plus and so forth, then Israelis know this. So they say that she's a big threat to us. So premeditated murder they committed, you must remember, against her, and all the fairy tale story. You know Bennett, what Bennett said? Bennett said that I killed many Arabs, and there's no problem in that. Openly he said this. That was the previous prime minister of the apartheid terrorist Nazi regime of Israel. Bennett said, I killed many Arabs, and there's no problem in that. Imagine if an Arab politician had to say, I killed many Jews, and there's no problem in that. The world media will run that story for years. Remember that. So think properly what's happening. Second one. So now what happens? Now they took some blame, Israel. And they said, yes, one of their people killed her, murdered her, but remember it was by mistake and unintentional. All fairy tale stories. So when Biden comes, they told him, the family, this must be sorted out. So America also playing double game because they love Israel the most. So now the matter will go to the ICC. And remember, the family is not going to leave it. We must support them 100%. Remember this. What's happening to my sister and our sister, Dr. Afia in America? What is happening to our 35, 40 brothers in Gitmo? So all this, remember. But you know how America works. They told the ICC that you take our soldiers and interrogate them in ICC, we'll arrest you. So that's how America works, you must understand. The bully and the one who threatens and blackmails the whole world, but then come tell us of human rights and democracy. Who's making who a fool in the zoo?
Allahu Akbar. I see on that question, Ustad says, Tanatali says, will there ever be justice regarding the killing of my sister Shirin, Ustad?
Inshallah, we pray in life, my sister Natalie. Quran teaches us, La taqnatu min rahmatillah, chapter 39, verse 53, never become disillusioned in the mercy of Allah. I don't know, Natalie, you plus minus 30, 35 years old, you're a South African citizen, this is just, I'm thinking aloud, right? I don't know if you even understood how apartheid works, and so forth and so on. You know about Sobukwe. So Sobukwe was put, you must remember, there in solitary confinement in Robben Island. Remember, the others were put together, but he, because he was the brain, so they put him there one side. You understood? So, and then you find our brother Ahmed Timol, and you find thousands of others, right? Muslim, non-Muslim, were tortured, were killed and murdered by the apartheid regime. You know what they used to say, the generals of the South African Defense Force and Army? I'm speaking of apartheid. They used to say, if we start here on a Monday, you know, in Pretoria, we'll clean up the whole Africa by the Friday, Saturday, Sunday. 1 week we clean the whole, and it's the truth. They had the most powerful army. They had nuclear and everything prepared. Remember these things here. So that is how powerful they were. They never dreamt one day everything will come out. And you see today, they, when they were brought there to the truth and reconciliation, they were singing like canaries. You must remember that. They knew they in big trouble. So the day of justice will come on the day of judgment. But some of it will definitely come out now in this world. How we got apartheid museum here in South Africa, we will have many apartheid museums in Israel after the victory of the Palestinians, which will happen in my lifetime and your lifetime, inshallah. That is my greatest desire left here in this world.
Somebody wants to know, Ustad, can I sell halal takeaways next to a bar in a shopping center, Ustad?
So what you want? The people, the drunkies must come by you, and then from there they're going to go there. So remember in Islam, al-halalu bayyinun, hadith Bukhari Sharif. The halal is very, very clear. Wal-haramu bayyinun, and the haram is very clear. Wa baynahuma mushtabahat, in between you have the gray areas. So now, first of all, start with halal logos. Are halal logos really halal, or is it a money-making gimmick again? According to me, it's a money-making gimmick. There's halal logos. You see Saudi Arabia, they're opening bars now in Riyadh, Makkah, everywhere. And they're selling that now beer, and the beer got halal logo. So see, in Saudi Arabia now what's happening? So that is your halal logos. How many times we expose this halal business, the so-called halal? So it's all a case of scholars for dollars. So I don't agree with it. And then next to a bar and so forth. So you will find people coming by you half drunk, and others going to the, coming for halal that side by you, so called halal, and then entering in the bar. So stay away. Da'ama yuribuka ila mala yuribuk. Authentic hadith in Tirmidhi. Leave that which puts you into doubt and opt for that in which there's no doubt. Last question.
Somebody says here, sir, in a Muslim graveyard, how many people can be buried on top or next to each other? There is enough space on the land for separate graves. Ustad.
As long as there's place for separate graves, then you bury them like that. And once there's no place and you can't find place for extension, expansion and so forth, then you start recycling. Islam allows that. From those times already, you must remember. Quickly, I tell you a story, right? You must remember. It happened in Iraq. In 1929, this happened. You must remember that Huzaifa bin Yaman was buried, and remember Abdullah bin Jabir were buried and so forth. The king saw a dream that he must go there and exhume the bodies, but he forgot. His name was King Faisal of Iraq. So he forgot about it. And then the Grand Mufti, he was a great man himself. So remember, not like today's Grand Mufti, that how many grand you give them, they'll pass the fatwa. No. So remember, he saw the dream. They exhumed the bodies. You must remember that. And then they brought it to where Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu is buried. And so I went to these places. So remember, Allah Ta'ala allowed, you must remember, the recycling of graves and all that when there's a need and so forth. In Medina Munawwara, Makkah Mukarrama, millions of people are buried from time of Nabi alayhi salam. How you think they manage? So they recycle it. They know what they are doing. So in that way, they all met Allah Jalla wa'ala, take us from this world and let us die and pass away with Iman. So inshallah, 11 to 12 will be the bliss of marriage, and 1 to 2 will be tafsir of the noble Quran. Tonight will be, remember, the first of Rabi'ul Awwal, inshallah. And tomorrow first Rabi'ul Awwal in South Africa. Barakallahu fiqh. Salaamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi.